You know, I really need to get moving in this message, but we've got a, we had a saying when I was growing up playing sports, and one of the things, I played a lot of football, and I love football, and yeah, football fans out there. And one of the sayings that we had as a team was to leave everything on the field. I'm sure you've heard that. Leave everything on the field. In other words, don't come off the field after the game and wish you had done more. Right? And when Maddie was singing that free flow, you know, when I see his face, I'll wish I had given more away. So don't let me waste a drop. You know, that I think is so important. It's so much more important than football. Right? Do you agree with that, or am I going to get a little patty cake for that one too? You know what I mean? I mean, it's so much more important. Come on, this is everything. This is why we were created, right? We were created to worship Him. We were created to be with Him. And here's the most powerful thing about this. What Jesus desires, the reason He's so jealous for us, is because our life with Him is so much better than our life without Him. He's not jealous for you so He can take something away from you. He's jealous for you so He can pour something into you. He wants you to have everything. In fact, you're going to see that in the message today. You're going to see how much He wants you to have everything. So before I get into this message, I brought myself a note because I always forget to make little announcements. So I brought it so I don't forget it. I need to say thank you to all of you on behalf of Kim and me. For this past month in May of Pastor Appreciation, thank you so much for what you've done for us, blessing us. So many wonderful cards. We read them all. We cherish them. They're just beautiful. The words that you've spoken to us mean more than anything. Thank you for the gifts. Thank you for the things that you've done for us. But your words mean more than anything. Your commitment to Jesus means more than anything to us. And we're so thankful for that. So thank you so much for all that you've done, all that you've said to us. We really appreciate your appreciation. All right, so we're going to get into this message today. Summer at the movies. We're so ready for this. This is going to be so good. We're excited about this series this summer. And so we begin this summer-long series with Back to the Future for the next 4 weeks. And then Bourne Identity will be our next movie that we explore from July 7th through July 28th. And then the final movie is Hunger Games from August 4th through the 18th. So this series, Back to the Future, or this part, will be 4 weeks. Bourne Identity, 4 weeks. And Hunger Games will be 3 weeks long. So we chose these movies because we really want to take some time and show you what God has to say about your future, your identity, and how to live counterculture in this world as temporary residents. Amen? This is very important topics for us as believers. I believe if we can grab hold of these topics, if we can grab hold of this throughout this summer, it's going to change our lives. In fact, before service, as I was praying with our worship team and the artist and everybody, one thing I said is, let's pray that God takes us to new levels this summer. Let's pray that God changes us even more to be like Him this summer, that we become deeper in His presence and in His Word this year. Amen? So, during this series, we may throw out a line or two from the movies from time to time. Like, hello, McFly. In fact, just reach over and noogie somebody right now and just say that. Hello, McFly. Did anybody watch Back to the Future? Anybody watch the series? I mean, you got to be a little older. Well, not really, because they're on TV all the time, aren't they? They're everywhere. All right, so we're going to throw out a line from time to time. We may play a clip or two during the series. Who knows? But what's most important is that you hear what God has to say to you personally throughout this entire series this summer. And if you can't make it for one reason or another, I know summer in Michigan is vacation time, right? I understand that. I get it. It's vacation time. It's camping time. It's all of that. But we have this really fancy, newfangled technology called live stream or live video that you can watch. And even if you can't catch it live while we're doing it right now, like all these people watching live, do you realize that we have people all over the country and some people in other parts of the world watching us right now? Isn't that cool? And that's pretty neat. We've had people in Kenya watching us, you know, live, and that's pretty powerful. So right now there are people in Arizona and people in California and Florida and Tennessee watching us right now. So if they can do it, our own congregation in Michigan can do it, right? So if you can't watch it live, you can always catch the recording later at your convenience. So please do that so you don't miss a beat this summer. Okay, so today the title is The Future Belongs to You. One of the main themes of the Back to the Future trilogy is that you can change your future by going back and changing things in your past. And although it is true that you are and we are where we are and we are who we are today because of the choices we made in the past, but the truth is you cannot go back in time and change your past choices, can you? I mean, let's face it, there's not a person in this building today that hasn't at one time or another wished that they had a time machine that they could go back in time and undo something that they had done, right? I mean, how many of you feel that way from time to time, right? So, I mean, sometimes it's like it just came out of your mouth and you're like, oh, too late. Because even the moment it comes out of your mouth, you can't get it back, can you? It's out there, right? It's done. The moment you do something, it's done. And so you can't go back in time. You can't get into a DeLorean and make sure the flux capacitor is working and go 88 miles an hour and boom, into the past so that you can change your future. What's been done in the past is done. Right? Okay? So even though we can't do that, you do not have to continue to allow the bad choices you made in the past affect your future. Do you know that? Some people in this building, maybe many of us, are continuing to allow our past choices, our bad choices that we made in the past, we're continuing to allow those to affect our future. But we don't have to do that. At the very end of the last movie in the Back to the Future trilogy, Doc Brown returns on a futuristic train. It's a flying train, and he's there with his future wife, Clara, and children. And his children are Jules and Vern. And Doc Brown makes a statement that I mostly agree with. Okay, I mostly agree with this statement. He says to Marty McFly and his girlfriend, Jennifer, he says, "Marty, your future hasn't been written yet. No one's has. Your future is what you make it, so make it a good one." It's pretty good, huh? All right. Unfortunately, I watched a lot of Back to the Future growing up. I did. Too much. I'm not going to do the rest of the message that way because that's really hard on your throat. But listen to that statement. Your future hasn't been written yet. No one's has. Your future is what you make it, so make it a good one. I wonder if Doc Brown was reading 1 Corinthians before he came back on the flying train to talk to Marty and Jennifer. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us this. It says, the future belongs to you. That's what it says. Right there. I'm going to show it to you in a minute. The future belongs to you. Doesn't that sound very similar to Doc Brown's statement? Your future is what you make it. It hasn't been written yet, so you can write it. Make it a good future. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us this. Let's look at it in verse 16 first. It says, "Don't you realize that together you have become God's inner sanctuary and that the Spirit of God makes his permanent home in you?" I just want to stop before I go to verse 21 through 23 and look at the first three lines. Don't you realize? Don't you realize? I think that's something you should repeat. Look at somebody and say, "Don't you realize?" Now, this is going to be an important theme in the next few minutes that you're going to see. Jesus actually used this theme. He actually used these words. But this is what the Word of God's saying. And then let's skip down to verse 21 through 23. And it goes on to say, "So don't be proud of your allegiance to any human leader, for actually you already have everything. It has all been given for your benefit, whether it is Paul or Apollos or Peter the rock, or whether it is the world or life or death, or whether it is the present or the," say it with me, future, everything belongs to you. And now you are joined to the Messiah who is joined to God. You see that? So what belongs to you? Everything belongs to you. That means your future belongs to you. Your future belongs to you. What do you want your future to be? What do you want to happen in your future? Where do you want to go in the future? Who do you want to have impact on in the future? Your future belongs to you. It's up to you. Nobody controls your future unless you allow them to control your future. Amen. I will say it again. Nobody controls your future unless you allow them to control your future. You have a choice. You have a choice. You can control your future. This is what the scripture says. Everything belongs to you, including your future. Let me just show you one thing that does not belong to you. It's not in the scripture. One thing that does not belong to you is your past. Do you see this? It says world or life or death, or whether it's the present or the future. Present or the future. Past is not in there. Did you notice that? So for the next few minutes, I want us to focus on this one short statement. This statement is, for actually, you already have everything. It has all been given for your benefit. You already have it. Look at somebody and say, I already have it. It's mine. This is a powerful promise from the Word of God. Everything belongs to you. What a promise. Everything belongs to me? Really? But I wonder how many people in this place actually believe that promise. I wonder, you know how you can tell if you believe the promise? Are you living by it? Are you walking like you believe the promise? Are you acting like you believe the promise? Are you talking like you believe the promise? The words that come out of your mouth, they will establish your path. And if you're walking around grumbling and complaining, that is the path you're establishing for your future. But if you're walking around speaking and proclaiming the promises of God, proclaiming that the future belongs to you, that God has already given you everything you need to succeed, then guess what's going to happen? Absolutely. So look at this. If this is true, if this promise is true, and how many of you know this promise is true because it's the Word of God? So it is true. Then why do we allow our past failures and mistakes to define our future? I believe it's because of a lack of understanding about what we already have. We are so focused on our past mistakes, on past decisions, on past failures, things that we have done in the past, or things that have been done to us in the past, that we can't see what belongs to us now. How can your eyes be in the future if your eyes are stuck in the past? You say, well, you don't know what's been, or you don't know what I've done, or you don't know what's been done to me. No, I don't know what you've done, and I don't want to know what you've done. I don't know what's been done to you, and it really doesn't matter what's been done to you, because now you have everything. And if you have everything, why are you worried about what you didn't have back then or what was done to you back then? I know. Just bear with me a minute because some of you are already getting riled up. You're saying I'm just supposed to forget what happened to me and what somebody did to me? Yeah, actually I am, but let me just explain it. Let me wrap this up for you a little bit, okay? Because if I say it to you that way, you're going to get all offended and you're going to walk out of here and not understand. But let me show it to you in the Word of God. Because the disciples did the same thing too. They were so focused on the past. They were so focused on what they did or what they didn't do and what happened to them and what had been done to them that they couldn't see what was right in front of them. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 14 through 21 with me. It says this, but the disciples had forgotten to bring any food. I love how it starts with that, right? food. The disciples had forgotten to bring any food. They had only one loaf of bread with them in the boat. As they were crossing the lake, Jesus warned them. He said, "Watch out. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod." Now, let me stop for a second, and I want to say, watch this. Watch what happens. I want you to see how when you're so focused on past failures and past mistakes and just in the past in general, one statement can send us into a tailspin and we can forget the power that we have within us. Verse 16, at this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus makes this statement. The disciples start arguing and bickering with one another because they didn't bring any bread. And verse 17 says, Jesus knew what they were saying, and he said, "Why are you arguing about having no bread? Don't you know or understand even yet?" You know what he's just saying? Don't you realize? Remember earlier? Don't you realize? Don't you know or understand even yet? Are your hearts too hard to take it in? You have eyes, but you can't see. You have ears, can't you hear? Don't you remember anything at all? I really believe this is how Jesus was saying it. I believe he was a little bit frustrated at this moment. I mean, can you read it any other way? I make one statement to you about the yeast of the Pharisees, and you start arguing with each other about not bringing bread? What are you, where are you? Where's your head? What are you thinking about? What are you listening to? What are you looking at? Don't you understand yet? How long, Jesus said this one time to the disciples, "How long must I be with you people?" You remember? Remember reading that? How long do I need to put up with this? Seriously. And sometimes I feel that way with myself. You ever feel that way with yourself? Anybody besides me? How long am I going to be ignorant like this? I'll say it the way Ethan said it just a minute ago. How long am I going to be distracted by other lovers? Come on, y'all. You know you're doing it too. How long am I going to let my eyes be diverted to other lovers? How long am I going to put up with that? When am I going to zone in on the one true love of my life? So he goes on to say this. He says, "Don't you remember anything at all? When I fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread, how many baskets of leftovers did you pick up afterward?" 12, they said. "And when I fed the 4,000 with 7 loaves, how many large baskets of leftovers did you pick up?" 7, they said. Verse 21, Jesus said, "Don't you understand yet?" He asked them. Let me show you a couple things real quick. One, Jesus wasn't even talking about food. He wasn't even talking about food. That's not what he was talking about here. When he was talking about the yeast of the Pharisees, he was talking about corrupt thinking. I love how God works things out. I love how Jesus does things because he knew what was about to happen, so that's why he made the statement. These are his disciples. He's trying to teach them. He knows how they think. He is all God, all in the flesh. So he knows what's going on in their minds. He knows what they're thinking. So he kind of sets them up a little bit. You know what I mean? And I love that. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees.
We didn't bring any bread. We didn't bring it. Why did you bring bread? Why did you bring bread? I don't have no bread.
Jesus is like, what's that? Face palm. It's like, how long is this going to take for you to get this? I'm not even talking about food. I'm talking about the yeast of the Pharisees is corrupt thinking. The Pharisees were so deluded by the lies of the enemy, they couldn't see the Messiah before their very eyes. And the disciples were falling into the same trap. This is what Jesus was saying. Do you not understand yet? How many baskets of leftovers did you pick up when we fed those 5,000? It was actually about 20,000 people with just a couple loaves. How many baskets of leftovers? 12. Why are you concerned about food when you've seen what I can do? Amen. That's what Jesus is saying. Why? Here's why. Because they were the very thing Jesus was warning them about is what was happening. They were corrupt in their thinking. The yeast of the Pharisees was the corrupt thinking that permeates the entire loaf. It gets in there. That's why we are so adamant about that here at the river. We want to crush that. We want to crush the lies of the enemy. We want to crush that corrupt thinking. And the only way to crush the corrupt thinking is to proclaim the truth of God's word. That goes for us as a body, and that goes for you individually. You're not going to be able to overcome this unless you're proclaiming the truth. What you've been listening to is lies, and that's why you get so deluded by the lies of the enemy. So this is what was happening there. And then the second thing was Jesus was saying, are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now? Look, you've seen what I've done. You've seen what I can do, and I'm right here with you in the boat. I'm with you. I'm in the boat with you. And you're worried about bread? I'm right here. Did you see what I did? Did you see what I have done? Do you know? Do you trust in me? If you trust in me, why are you worried about bread? Let me ask you this as a congregation. Do we have anything to worry about if we truly trust Jesus? Anybody? No. Nothing. Nothing. So why do we worry? Ooh, man, it's quiet in here today. Come on, y'all. Why do we worry? Are we listening to the lies of the enemy? See, it's hard for us to say that. Worry is not from God. Look at your neighbor. Say, worry is not from God. I got to get you talking to somebody in here. Worry is not from God. You cannot worry and say, well, it's okay to worry. It's not okay to worry. Matthew 6:25, Jesus said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about anything. What you eat, what you drink, what you wear, nothing. Jesus had already said this to the disciples. He had already preached this to them on the Sermon on the Mount. He had already said, do not worry about anything. What you eat, what you drink, what you wear. What were the disciples worried about? What they were eating. And they were worried about what they had to eat. They were worried about not enough bread after they saw all the leftovers. What we should be doing at this moment is we should be, at a moment like that, we should just be taking that one loaf that we brought, that the disciples, walk up to Jesus and say, multiply that, please. We'll take 20 fresh loaves straight out of the oven. I would like extra creamy butter, please. Actually, give me some of that honey butter that Texas Roadhouse uses. Can you throw in an awesome blossom or a blooming onion or whatever those things are called with that, please? With some extra tiger sauce or whatever that stuff is. I'll take a bone-in ribeye steak, medium rare. I would like a loaded baked potato and a loaded sweet potato on the side, please. Come on. Right? If we're going to ask, let's ask. Or are you partly overcoming this corrupt thinking? And you're only asking for just, may I just have a crumb, please? Just a crumb? In other words, do you have poverty mentality or wealth mentality? Whew, I'm loving this message today. Because I'm getting something. I need this. How many of you need this? I need to wake up. I'm tired of asking for crumbs when he promised me the kingdom. Right? Why are we doing that? And this is what he's saying to the disciples. He's saying, do you not understand yet? Do you not understand who is standing in front of you? Do you not understand who is in your boat? I'm going back. Hold on, I'm going back. Where's it at? Here we go. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not realize that together you have become God's inner sanctuary and that the Spirit of God makes his permanent home in who? Raise your hand if his permanent home is in you. Raise your hand. Come on, if he's in you. Raise it high like you're proud about it. Come on. He's in you. you know, some people are like, I don't want to raise my hand because I know this is a catch. Because I know what he's about to say. I'm just going to say the same thing Jesus would say. If his permanent home is in you, if the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is in you, if the Son of the living God is in you, then what do you have to worry about? What are you afraid of? The future belongs to you. Your future belongs to you. Let me go back. You don't want me to lose my place. I'll just preach it all over again. Marty McFly had a similar problem. He had a similar problem. He had a bad temper issue that would cause continual problems in his future. It continued to happen. His bad temper came out when anybody would call him chicken. Thus, the reason for the shirt. Nobody calls me chicken. I came prepared today. How many of you have seen the movies? You know that one of the many running storylines throughout the three movies is that whenever somebody would call Marty chicken, he'd have an issue with that. He could be making the right choice. He could be walking away from a fight. But the moment someone calls him chicken, it's like a switch is flipped and he can't let go of it. The moment someone calls him chicken, he inevitably turns around and is sucked into the trap. And it's a decision that continually affects his future outcome in a negative way. I wonder how many of us continually struggle with the same things. It's like we're on a merry-go-round. We continually allow our past mistakes or our past patterns or something that was done to us in the past to suck us into the trap of listening to the yeast of the Pharisees, the lies of the enemy, and repeating the same reaction over and over and over again, which inevitably results in the same outcome in our future. You cannot, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, listen to me clear, you cannot continually use the excuse, well, I was just born with a bad temper. It runs in my family. Come on. No, it doesn't. Amen. Oh, yeah, it does. You should have saw my dad. You should have saw my grandfather. Man, they all have bad tempers. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. No, it doesn't. You can't continually use that excuse. See, we can't see like the disciples what actually belongs to us. We have let the yeast of the Pharisees permeate and cloud our thinking, and we stay focused on what we don't have instead of on what belongs to us. If you have trust issues in relationships because you were hurt in the past, you really haven't given your past to Jesus. And you will continue to live with corrupt thinking, which means that the future doesn't belong to you. The future belongs to the enemy. Are you listening to me? It's important that you hear this. Because we continually give our future away to an enemy who is so cruel, so vile, so corrupt, that billions of unborn children have been slaughtered because it's his agenda. Oh yeah, I went there. I'm not trying to be all politically correct. I'm trying to be biblically correct. All right? That is no condemnation on anyone who has had an abortion, because the love of Jesus is so powerful, so strong, can overcome anything, and he loves you. So if that has happened to you, and I know it's happened to a lot of people who are in the church today, if that has happened to you, that's not condemnation. I'm just telling you that Jesus loves you, and he wants us to get free from corrupt thinking. That goes for anything we've done. We can't continue to allow our past to dictate our future. Our past should be gone, right? I mean, think about it. Let me just say it to you this way. How How can you trust Jesus with your future when you haven't fully trusted him with your past? It's not possible. Maybe you're struggling with trusting him with the future because you haven't given him your past. The truth is, what you did in the past or what was done to you in the past died the moment the blood of Jesus touched it. Why do you keep trying to revive it? Why do you keep falling to the ground and doing compressions and mouth-to-mouth resuscitation on something that died the moment that you gave your heart and life to Jesus? Why are we helping the enemy? Here's the truth. The truth is, he has no chance against us. None. The enemy has no chance against you. You raised your hand. I saw it. You said that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords lives inside of you. He came and he made his permanent home in you. So if he made his permanent home in you, the enemy has no chance against you, Jim. None. He knows it. He knows it. He absolutely knows. The moment you did that, he knows, I'm done. If they realize, if they realize what they have. This is what 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you realize? Don't you realize what you have? And what keeps us from realizing what we have is corrupt thinking. And that corrupt thinking comes when we haven't fully buried our past. Everything belongs to you. Everything. Except your past, because it's under the blood. The blood of Jesus has taken it away, and it's gone. Well, they hurt me really bad. They did something terrible to me. I get that. I've had terrible things done to me. I shared that about a month ago with this congregation. Terrible things. I was molested as a child. Terrible things that should never happen to any child. But I'm telling you right now, there are so many children that are living with it. There are so many adults that are still living with that. And you don't have to live with that. Not only do I know that that past is buried and gone and forgotten, it's just gone. Not only that, but I also have forgiven the person that did it to me. So much so, I'm not just saying, oh yeah, I forgive them, and then you walk around carrying it. That's not forgiveness. I'm talking about forgiving this person so much that I go out and do things with this person, and I love this person, and I hang out with this person. No, don't clap for me. Clap for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords inside of me that made this possible. I couldn't do it without him. I couldn't do it if I didn't realize the power that's living in me. Do you get that? You have to realize who lives in you. Because if you don't realize who lives in you, you'll keep bickering with each other. You'll keep going around and around and around about something you don't have. Because you don't realize what you do have. Everything belongs to you. Your future belongs to you. It's time we stop reacting to the lies of the enemy, and it's time we start responding to the truth that lives inside of us. Ephesians 4:4 says, "For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future." You've been called to hope for the future. It's your birthright. It's your born again right. You get this? It's your birthright. You've been called to a glorious hope for the future. I feel so strongly about this message today because of many reasons, but one in particular, the generation that's coming up now. This millennial generation. One of the trademarks, one of the trademarks of this generation is to have no hope for the future. It's true. They just meander and wander around aimlessly, lost, no passion or hope for the future, no drive. And this is why the suicide rate in the United States of America has quadrupled in 10 years. 10 years. Four times the amount that there were 10 years ago, suicides. They're happening all the time. And what's sad about this is that many churches condone it or say that it's okay, they're in heaven. I just want to say to you, we cannot murder ourselves. Okay? It's the enemy's plan, just like abortion is, to destroy us. Because that's his only chance, is to get us to destroy ourselves. He can't do it. He has no power over you. He has no power over me. The only power that he has is whatever I give him. Remember, he doesn't hold a candle to our God. I said this 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,000 more. If God is as great as the universe, as big as the universe, Satan is the size of an ant. And that's not even a close comparison. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hate to even give him that kind of room. So many people say, well, God's here and Satan's power is right here. That's not true. It's not even close. If Satan had that much power, then how did he allow himself to get kicked out of heaven? In fact, if Satan had that much power, then how did he allow the one who created him to make him crawl on his belly like a snake? I'm just saying. Do you realize what you have? Do you realize? I should close your eyes for a moment. I'm going to say a prayer and then we're going to close this service. I want you to realize today, the goal today is to realize that the future belongs to you. Your future belongs to you. What kind of future do you want? And so many people in this place right now, I want you to think about it for a moment, but I want you to realize this. I want you to let God right now take the blinders off. Let Holy Spirit remove the blinders from your eyes, from your spiritual eyes. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to just come in, sweep over this place and remove the blinders from our eyes. Remove the limitations from our minds. Can you just say that? Can you say, Holy Spirit, remove the limitations from my mind? And you need to pray it. You need to say it. I can say it over you, but you need to say it. You need to mean it. So right now, just with your eyes closed, just take a moment. Take a moment and just think about your future. What do you want your future to be? For you, for your family, for your children. What do you want it to be? What do you see?